Lake Effect Weekend returns now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. It's great to have your company. When was the last time you found yourself in need of some reliable rope? Well, today, rope is one of those objects we simply take for granted. It's easy to find in the hardware store if we need it, but unless we're sailors or going rock climbing, we're probably not paying too much attention to it. But back in the days of our frontier ancestors, rope was a necessity, particularly on the farm. Its uses were endless, as was the need for the product. So how did we acquire rope in the days before Home Depot? Well, it turns out there was such a thing as a rope machine. And wouldn't you know, there's one of those at Old World, Wisconsin. Lake Effect's material culture contributor, Jennifer Field, took a trip out to Eagle and got a demonstration of the machine from interpreter Dirk Hildebrandt.
Everyone needed rope. Every farm had one of these because they'd just make their own when they needed it. Plus, it was also done in an industrial scale. Think of sailing ships had miles of rope on them. This style of machine, which, and it was sort of like building a better mousetrap. Everyone had one. But this technology is attributed to Leonardo da Vinci. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But so it goes way, way back in this country. I mean, patents go back to like 1807 as the earliest patent or earliest reference to a patent I could find. The raw material we start with is baler twine. If we were making that from scratch, we would take plant fibers and then spin them, like you would spin yarn on a spinning wheel out of wool. You would spin that into a thin rope. And then the thing is, when you do spin like that, the fibers have a twist, like a corkscrew twist to them. And that twist runs throughout the entire length, you know, of the strand. When you take those strands, put them on our rope machine, and then you start turning the crank on the machine, all those strands start twisting together, but they're twisting opposite the way their twist is. So the reason the rope, when it's done, does not fall apart is the rope is twisted. The six strands are twisting one way, but each of the six strands is also twisting the opposite direction. And those two things twisting against each other mean neither of them goes anywhere. That's how it works. I've seen versions of this machine that are like 8 feet tall and sit on railroad tracks. These are about 10 feet apart, which will make a rope about 7 feet long. So you start out with a small rope. The fibers are twisted, and you have to string the machine, basically. And we're doing six strands. We're running the strands between the cranking end of the rope machine. I'm sure there's an official name for it. And then to the weight on the other side. And what you have to do is basically this end has these hooks which turn and a crank on it. So that twists these ropes into the bigger one. And there has to be tension on it, which is why there's weights here. We've strung six strands onto three different hooks. And you'll see when we turn the crank, basically what we do is we start twisting these strands tighter and tighter and tighter. And when we get them to the correct tension, then as we loosen the tension, it'll take these six strands and twist itself into one new rope. This is called a rope wrench, and all it does is it keeps the strands from twisting in the beginning. Because first you want to put some tension on these before they twist themselves into one rope. And it also, you'll see when we make the rope, this as we let the tension off with the rope wrench, it'll turn. That's when it twists itself into the other one. We're twisting six strands of rope into three, and then we'll take those three, we'll twist themselves into one. And if you see, as we're twisting these, the strands get shorter, okay? As they get shorter, they lift this weighted bucket up. And the weights are there just to keep tension on it all. Then, now what we're going to do is keep twisting. And this is the walking part of the rope walk. And I'll just walk this rope wrench down. See, as we just walk it down, it twists itself into a rope. The slower I go, the more stiff the rope will be. The faster I go, the less stiff. Consistency is the thing. You want to move it at a constant speed so that the rope has got the same strength throughout the whole thing. And there we go. Honestly, rope making does not fascinate the majority of the people in the world. But I think it's one of those things where it's something that's very simple. It's rope. Who thinks about rope? You know, it's something you buy. We had about 100 feet of rope donated by one of the garden volunteers. He came and said, this was in the barn. It's like 100 years old. I wouldn't trust it, but it's in good shape. And it was. It's been oiled over the years. And so we'll use it. I mean, I wouldn't lift anything with it because it's, you know, it's very old. But it's very nice looking. So we'll use it when we have, like, our threshing machine set up and we need to string a rope around it to sort of make so the visitors can't come past. And we'll use that rope for that because, you know, it'll be perfectly functional. But, yeah, if you take care of it, and all depends on the use too. But if you take care of it, yeah, they'll last years. Don't leave it in the sun. Don't let it get wet. A lot of times, rope would be oiled. It would not like dipped in oil, but you know, with maybe oil rubbed over it, and that just makes it a little more waterproof. Don't drag it through the dirt. If dirt gets in a rope, little pieces of stone are stronger than the plant fibers, so they'll slowly eat away and weaken it. Rope wasn't made to last. Rope was made to be used up, which is why you needed a rope machine, because you had to have new rope all the time. No, rope is something. It's not a throwaway item, as we think of throwaway items, but no, rope was made to be used. You always take care of the rope no matter what it's being used for. And, you know, we'll use it, we could easily use rope a dozen times a day. It all depends what we're doing.
Jennifer Fields studies material culture at UW-Madison and is the curator of It's a Material World. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. She spoke with Old World Wisconsin interpreter Dirk Hildebrandt about his rope machine. And that is our show today. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for making us a part of your afternoon. Lake Effect Weekend airs every Saturday and Sunday from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. You can hear our weekday version of Lake Effect at 10 in the morning. It's all on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned now for Weekend All Things Considered. It's coming up next.